Welcome. This is Coast to Coast AM, coming to you live from the City of Angels, right here, the Coast to Coast AM World Headquarters. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight's going to be one of those shows, so I will ask all of you, get comfortable. Get that drink of choice, pull up the blankets. It's going to be an amazing show. I want to say, first off, before we get started here, that Leo Zagami was to be our guest tonight. And with the posting of the Stanley Kubrick alleged 1999 interview yesterday that blew up all over the internet, we knew that we had to cover this on the show tonight. So in the interest of getting the story to you correctly, Leo will be with me right here next Saturday on Coast to Coast. Tonight, it's going to be interesting. The internet went ablaze yesterday. It blew up with the release of a Stanley Kubrick movie, a preview, called Shooting Stanley Kubrick. And with that, allegedly, that the interview was filmed in 1999, 3 days before Mr. Kubrick's death. And in the interview, and there are several versions of it on the internet now, which you can go and check out, he stated that he did the moon hoax, that he filmed it, that we didn't go to the moon. He named names. The internet went crazy. I immediately contacted the one man that I knew would be on top of this, and that is filmmaker and writer Jay Widener. Jay Widener will be with us tonight. He has spent the last 30 years researching alchemy, Stanley Kubrick, his films, Kubrick's Odyssey, Infinity, The Ultimate Trip. His latest film is The Last Avatar, and we will find the time to get to that tonight. Also in this video, Bart Seibel's name was mentioned, and that is crucial in unraveling what happened yesterday. Bart Seibel will be with us shortly right here on Coast to Coast. We are going to get to the who, what, when, where, why in this deception. Now, before we get started here, I want to clearly define a couple of things. First, hoax. What is a hoax? Well, it's defined as something intended to deceive or defraud, deception, fraud. And that also can imply criminal activity. So there's no need to go to hoax. But then we go to artistic license. An artistic license is used to denote the distortion of fact or rewording of pre-existing text made by an artist in the name of art. So what are we dealing with Stanley Kubrick? Is it a hoax or is it artistic license? And tonight on Coast to Coast, we are going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will be joined with Bart Seibel. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and I'm sitting in tonight for George Norrie. He's away on holiday. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George tonight. He's away on holiday, and he wants me to tell everybody happy holidays. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio, and I run Twitter live to my left, so I have got a Twitter stream going. You can follow me at JChurchRadio. Any questions tonight? Any comments? I will see them, and you never know. You might win a prize. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, Bart Seibel, he's an award-winning filmmaker. He's a writer. He's an investigative journalist, and he has produced films shown on ABC, NBC, CNN, TLC, USA Network, BET, and The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He's appeared on The Daily Show, Geraldo, NBC, CNN, Fox, Tech TV, The Abrams Report, and right here, back again on Coast to Coast AM. He directed the Apollo documentary, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. It's a documentary that I highly recommend. I have watched it several times myself. I've discussed it with Bart at length, and his name was mentioned in this video yesterday. with Stanley Kubrick. I would like to welcome to Coast to Coast, Bart. How are you, sir?
Good. I have a question for you, Jimmy. How can you talk and tweet at the same time? That's amazing.
I do it with my toes. And that's a whole nother thing. And, you know, and Bart, we have a very limited time here, but I will say this. At the Coast to Coast Studios, and it's nice and dark in here, I stand. I don't sit. I stand. George stands, and I'm at the George positioner, so I stand. So that leaves my toes free to tweet, and it's a gift. And now, Bart, yesterday, when I contacted you, and I was very direct in the email, and you hadn't seen the video yet. And what did you think when you opened up my email? Because you probably assumed it was about something else. You know, we're friends. It's no big deal. What did you think when you read the email that I sent to you yesterday?
Well, I didn't have an opinion other than to check out the link. And I could tell you within the first 5 seconds that it's likely forgery. Number one, you know, it's not lit properly. Things that are in the dark are done so to conceal. Obviously, the person's face is only half lit so that you can't really tell whether it's Kubrick or not, and obviously it's not him. And so it's like that alien autopsy film that came out years ago. I could have told them it was a fake within the first few seconds. You ever been in an operating room? It's one of the brightest rooms you've ever been in your whole life. And so the idea that they were doing an autopsy in the dark, you know, doesn't make any sense. And any filmmaker is going to light an important subject like Stanley Kubrick 10 times better than that was lit. And he's going to give the person being interviewed a better microphone than the person asking the questions. Of course, you could hear the person asking the questions crystal clear, and you couldn't hear Kubrick not even half as good. Then we go on to the fact that they talk about me putting a Bible in front of Buzz Aldrin, which happened 3.5 years after Stanley Kubrick died. And then if you listen to the 20-minute version on YouTube at about the 13-minute point on, then you hear the person conducting the interview prompting, you know, this actor what to say, one of which times the guy playing Kubrick says, "I thought I was dead by then." So the only, you know, there's about a 1% chance that it is real. I can tell you that the guy sounded a lot like the way Kubrick spoke. But, you know, unless the interviewer's track is somehow overdubbed by the CIA trying to make a real interview look fake, and they threw in the part that they knew was done after the guy died and threw in the part where he was being prompted what to say, which isn't very likely. It's just a clever forgery. I mean, after all, that the trailer called Moonwalkers has been out, and that's probably what inspired this person to do it. I can say at least, you know, in the film Moonwalkers, even though it's a comedy, they are basically saying the moon landings were fake. There was a film, Interstellar, that said the very same thing. But you can also remember that there was a roast in which Trump, I think it was 4 years ago, had just dropped out of the Republican primary. And Obama said to him, you know, now you can stop focusing on whether I was born in Kenya or not and focus on more important things like whether the moon landings are real. Well, we know the moon landings were not real. And we know there's at least a 50% chance that maybe Obama was born in Kenya. So the point is that they're trying to make the truth appear absurd. It's misinformation. When Bill Kasing, who worked at NASA for 6.5 years, went on Oprah and said the moon landings were fake, they immediately put him in the same boat as people who think that the Earth is flat. The Earth is obviously a sphere. You know, the whole Flat Earth Society was created as a joke by the Illuminati. But the same thing is happening now. Now that the tide is turning, people are opening their eyes to the fact that if they can't go to the moon today, how could they possibly go with 1960s technology? They're saying the same thing all over the internet and all over postings of my film. If you think the moon landings are fake, then you must think the Earth is flat. This is all just a bunch of misinformation. And what can you say? That's why we're talking. At least it's given us something to do.
Well, if you go with hoax or artistic license and you're trying to create something that is there to deceive, why would somebody make such an obvious mistake in bringing up you unless you were out on the streets with your Bibles approaching, you know, the astronaut crew in 1999? It's too simple of a thing to unravel, isn't it?
Not necessarily. People really don't do their homework. You'd be surprised. I've been interviewed at least 100 times, and probably 3/4 of the time, the journalists, including people from USA Today, write a movie review about my film without watching it. Can you believe that? People are throwing these things together, and they, in their mind, you know, one event happened before the other, they're mistaken. I had to stop and think, well, when was that? You know, hey, it was September of 2002, you know? So it's just one of those things. They made a mistake. They probably intended on editing out certain things. But, you know, people are watching this on the internet, and they're not listening to it. I mean, if you listen to the second half, you know, the director's prompting this person what to say. Well, how can he in the first part be allegedly surprised at this Kubrick, you know, double, what he's saying, and then in the second half tell the double exactly what to say about what he was supposed to be previously surprised about? The fact is, the moon landings were fake. You know, it's so obvious. The only problem with it is, you know, in the case of like Kennedy, whoever did it, whether it was the Cubans, the Russians, the CIA, he's still dead. Whoever did 9/11, whether it's the Saudis or the Iraqis or Cheney, 3,000 people are still dead. But in this particular case, this is a positive conspiracy. It's like telling, you know, you that your favorite Super Bowl team that, you know, won the championship did so by putting drugs in the Gatorade of the opposing team. They don't want to hear it. How dare you say such a thing? But it is so simple if it's not a religious experience to people. I mean, Russia is saying that it's going to take them until 2030, 60 years after Apollo 11 to put a man on the moon. And the time from the goal to putting a man on the moon when they made that statement today is 15 years. And yet with 5 decades older technology, the goal from saying they were going to do it to do it took half as much time. You know, technology does not go backwards. The South Pole has 100-mile-per-hour winds, minus 100 degrees Fahrenheit almost, and there's bases there because it's humanly possible. If it were humanly possible to go to the moon, there would be bases there right now, just like there are at the South Pole. The fact that there aren't is proof itself that it cannot be done.
I will admit, and you bring up a good point, that my email to you, and you can freely admit this is exactly what the email said, Bart, refresh my memory. 2002, yes. In 1999, I had to do the same thing, and I know your story well, and I couldn't remember. And you're absolutely right. Most people wouldn't reference it, and I certainly didn't remember it myself. So I think that's a really good point to make. Let me ask you this. Bart. Do you think that there is the possibility of this being some type of disinfo campaign too, as well, meant to both smear your name and Jay Widener's too, for that matter, and kind of pull the focus off of the hoax question, the Apollo hoax question?
Well, you know, me and Jay, we have the hem of the garment. Kubrick, who very likely did shoot Apollo 11, the first mission, he knows everything, or he did know everything. He knew when it was done, where it was done, how it was done, who was involved. I'd say they're trying to smear the name of Kubrick, because it's my understanding, having talked with his wife off the record, that he does have a time clock of some kind based on some date, prearranged date in his will, to release certain information at a certain time in the future. I think the CIA or whoever knows about this, they're afraid of it, and they, you know, are trying to discredit him of it in advance. You know, the fact is, you know, the further it goes on from claiming they went to the moon with 1960s technology, the more absurd it seems when it cannot be repeated today. You have these Nazi war criminals who are 90 years old, and they will die to their dying breath to, you know, to escape justice, just like, you know, the government, you know, trying to get to squirm out of the fact that it's coming out and being exposed that the moon landings are fake. They don't want to admit it, even if it occurred all that time ago.
And they did do all of the conspiracy, the Apollo hoax conspiracy checklist. They went down Wernher von Braun, Kennedy, you know, they just went down the checklist that you can find anywhere on the net, and they addressed each one of those theories. And I found that was very interesting, how those were very direct and how they were trying to apply that back to Stanley.
Well, you got to understand, if the truth, let's just imagine one of the surviving astronauts goes on national TV and he tearfully admits that the moon landings were fake. You know, that would be the finger out of the dike of the federal government. People would throw up their arms and say, you know, we just need to overhaul the system, you know, from the top down, from the bottom up, and every which way in between. It would mean that, you know, just a supreme example of how disreputable our government has become over the years. It's really sad that, you know, these astronauts got Congressional Medals of Honor, and they're the exact opposite of honorable men. It's really pathetic that our government has stooped so low. I mean, lying has become their second, you know, or become their first nature, really, and it's just deplorable. I mean, it's because if the government were really honorable, we wouldn't be having this conversation, but unfortunately, they cannot be trusted. They got away with killing Kennedy. They got away with faking the moon landing. And who knows? They just become more and more emboldened to do more and more, you know, unscrupulous things as time goes on.
It's been almost 15 years since a funny thing happened on the way to the moon was released. And now that you can look back on it, it certainly stands on its own. And I don't feel, I think it's, everybody should go and check it out. You can just go to cyberl.com and click and go and watch it. I highly recommend it. But now it's been 15 years and it stands on its own. How do you feel?
Well, I was, you know, reflecting back in 1999. That's when I found the secret tape that you pop it in. It says on the screen, do not show this to the public. And it's unedited footage of multiple outtakes of a fake shot from the first mission to the moon with Neil Armstrong on camera, Michael Collins, Buzz Aldrin on camera. It's dated 3 days into the flight. And there's even a third track of audio of the CIA prompting them, you know, when to speak. I mean, you can see right in front of their eyes, and a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. Again, you said at Sibrel, S-I-B-R-E-L.com. Just click on the YouTube link. It cost us $500,000 to make this film over a five-year period. And I was doing the film under the theory it might be true. And then 3.5 years into this project, we find irrefutable proof that indeed it was fake. They were on the rocket, but they never left Earth orbit. They can't leave Earth orbit. They don't have enough fuel. There's lethal radiation beyond Earth orbit. And the lunar module was a joke. I mean, a 747, a decade later, with a decade greater technology, took a year longer to develop than the rocket to another planet on the first attempt. In fact, never in the history of aviation has a flying machine ever worked. The 747 had to go through 162 engines before they could lift the fuselage off the ground. The Wright brothers didn't make it up the first attempt. And yet, the most difficult flying machine ever designed on the most difficult mission of all time is the only time in aviation history it worked on the first attempt. It's completely absurd. And if people didn't see this event as some religious, you know, prideful notion, you know, with misplaced, you know, patriotism, they would see the truth, but their pride blinds them from doing so.
We're going to be up against a break here. So before we get there, I want to thank you for coming on and setting the record straight on the timeline on this. And you know, your name was dropped in there for everybody to hear. And thank you for coming on tonight. Now, I want to ask you one last thing. When you look at a funny thing, and the Bible, swearing on the Bible stuff with the astronauts, it can be difficult to watch. You know, you squirm in your seat a little bit, and it's very courageous for you to go and do that. But would you change, would you do anything different the way that you approached it?
Well, a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. It's the first and better film, which has the newly discovered footage in it. The second follow-up film is Astronauts Gone Wild. That's where I had the idea, well, why don't I just go up and put a Bible in front of these guys and see if they're swearing the Bible that they walked on the moon. I tried to be a Christian, and I've learned since then that the Bible says not to make an oath and not to talk disrespectfully to older people, both of which I did, and that was wrong of me. I apologized later to Buzz Aldrin, and I apologized to him, ordered a copy of The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. The fact is, we live in a world that has good versus evil, God versus the devil, truth versus lies. And putting a man on the moon is allegedly the greatest accomplishment of mankind, just as it was in the first phase, the Tower of Babel. And, of course, the Tower of Babel was never finished. The great ship Titanic that said in print, you know, the ship that God himself could not sink was never finished. And Tricky Dick Nixon said putting a man on the moon was the greatest event since creation itself when he knew they weren't there. The fact is, not being able to go to the moon and lying about it and deceiving the world is more significant of an event historically than if they had actually gone. And what we have, Jimmy, is one of the greatest truths of the history of mankind, staking this event out of pride and greed. And very few people know about it. They're hoarding the truth like a cure to cancer. We cannot go forward until we admit our wrongs.
Thank you so much, Bart, and keep rolling that rock uphill. This is Coast to Coast. When I come back after the break, writer, filmmaker Jay Widener is going to be right here with us. We are going to get to the bottom of the Kubrick alleged 1999 interview. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter at Jay Church Radio. This is Coast to Coast AM. Could 2016 really be the year of disclosure? In a lengthy profile piece by the Washington Post, activist, frequent Coast to Coast guest, and good friend of the show, Stephen Bassett, has argued that 2016 will be the year that the truth about UFOs is finally revealed. You can check it out right now at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Yes, the video was released yesterday. Stanley Kubrick. Is it real? Why did they do it? Is it a hoax? Is it artistic freedom? What is it? There's the best person, the one guy to go to is Jay Widener. Jay Widener tonight will be with us for the full duration. The red carpet is rolled out. We're going to get cracking right after this short break. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in tonight for George. He is away on holiday. He did say, happy holidays, everybody. The film is called Shooting Stanley Kubrick. The director, T. Patrick Murray. It was released yesterday in a 30-minute preview form across the internet. And Jay Widener was prominently featured in this 30-minute preview. And after this happened, we got to the bottom of other videos out there showing the uncut versions with the actor playing Stanley Kubrick. Writer, filmmaker Jay Widener has spent the last 30 years researching alchemy and ancient traditions. He has written two books and made over 25 documentaries with his company, Sacred Mysteries. He studies the films of Stanley Kubrick. I have discussed Stanley with Jay many, many times. He is the director of Kubrick's Odyssey, Infinity, The Ultimate Trip, and his latest film production is The Last Avatar. His website is sacredmysteries.com. And I would like to welcome back to Coast, our good friend, Jay Widener. Jay, good evening, sir. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Hey, no problem, man. Good to be here.
Crazy day yesterday.
Yep.
And now 24 hours has passed, and I did say to you yesterday, the first question I'm going to ask you tomorrow night on Coast is, how do you feel 24 hours later? Where are you today?
Befuddled and confused by the whole thing. Not quite sure what's going on. Not quite sure what the intentions of the filmmaker were outside of maybe causing befuddlement and confusion. So I really don't know what to say except that, what the hell?
The first 5 minutes for me yesterday in watching this was one almost of elation. You know, they got me. Okay, they got me. It worked. And I immediately called you, and you could tell in the tone of my voice yesterday, Jay, I was like, wow. And then 10 minutes later, I called you back, and I had a different tone in my voice, didn't I?
Yes, you did, and I did too, because I was watching it too. And, you know, we both began to realize that somebody was trying to really fool us in a very, in some ways, very sophisticated way. And that itself calls to question a lot of things, because why would you go to the distance of hiring someone who's a dead ringer for Stanley Kubrick, training them apparently to speak at least 90% with his voice, possibly putting a fake mole on his left cheek to match Stanley Kubrick to fool people like me, and then release the video at the same time that you're releasing other videos, which are outtakes showing the whole thing's a fraud, and these were released to PlayStation.com, and again another question comes up: how did they get found? These, in other words, what I'm telling you folks is that a bunch of videos got released yesterday at the same time that the Stanley Kubrick interview was released showing that it was a fake. So who would do that? Who would do such a crazy, silly, stupid thing as to go to all the trouble to make a fake and then go and release the videos that prove that it's a fake on the same day you're releasing it? So either T. Patrick Murray is a complete fool or something else is going on that we can't figure out.
When the genius behind putting something like this together, coaching the right actor, writing it, putting it together, your film student, your director, and everything that is behind that, to make that kind of slip up just doesn't make sense unless the slip up itself of the unedited interviews and the other videos. There's not just the unedited video. There's videos going back to 2012 showing the coaching and stuff. Why make that kind of mistake unless it's intentional? And if you do that, it opens up so many other doors into disinformation or maybe Washington being involved. It gets a little crazy quickly, doesn't it?
It does, and I'm completely confused because I understand the – I think I understand the original intention now, which was in some ways an attack on me and my work, and that was to release this film, which was, you know, 100% in agreement with my theories on Stanley Kubrick and the shooting of the moon footage. And it would back me up 100%. So naturally, I think the powers that were behind this thought maybe I would go on coast, like I am right now, and say, "Oh, this film proves, you know, that I'm right and everything." And then later, have the other footage released so that I would look like a fool. But
can I jump in for a second?
Yes.
I want to address that point for the audience. I want to drive this home. There was a I need to paint this picture very clearly for everybody. There was a 30-minute preview of a film called Shooting Stanley Kubrick. And in this 30-minute preview, Jay and his work is prominently displayed for the world. And Jay's work is well-respected. And it added, apparently, when you watch the 30-minute preview, the legitimacy of what was being presented with an alleged Stanley Kubrick interview. And that is what is crucial here. And Jay, the first time that you saw this yesterday and you hear your voice and your music and your edit and your audio, what went through your mind? And did you give him permission? Did you have any idea that this was being done to you?
Oh, no. This is completely lifted out of the blue. Definitely trying to emulate Kubrick's Odyssey and the success that it had and playing off of it. And, you know, now that we know what's really going on, it's clearly obvious that it's an attempt in a backhanded way to discredit my work and to make all of the people that are working on this kind of thing look like fools. Now, what's interesting, though, is about this is something that I had not known until this occurred, and that is the amount of interest in this subject. Holy smokes, it's going through the ceiling. I'm getting at least 2,000 emails in the last 24 hours. People are going completely crazy, which means that while it is a hoax, the original research by me and some others, although I can't think of who those others are, on Kubrick doing this stuff has really hit a nerve in the body politic. And I think that is the takeaway. And I think that's also the reason why they did it. They must be doing some kind of survey, and they're realizing that this idea that Stanley Kubrick directed the moon landing is beginning to take hold in some way. And they needed to begin to make, you know, chip away at it. I actually think, by the way, that the flat Earth theories are part of this
deception.
Deception, yeah.
Yes.
Campaign by these guys to make us all look like we're complete crazies. And this doesn't help, believe me, this fake Kubrick thing.
Have you spoken to Christiane yet, Kubrick? Have you reached out to her?
She has reached out to me through third parties, and I'm trying to figure out a way to talk to her without getting her in trouble, if you know what I mean.
Well,
I'm more concerned about her than I am about anything else because,
well, I have a statement from her here, and a spokesman for her responded with the following. The interview is a lie. Stanley Kubrick has never been interviewed by T. Patrick Murray. The whole story is made up, fraudulent, and untrue.
There you go.
And that's the release that came out this morning. And I want to go back to a few different definitions that you and I were talking about earlier today. Three or four scenarios that are playing out here. One is, you know, calling it a hoax, which is something intended to deceive or defraud. And that implies a bunch of different things. And, you know, are you doing this to make money? There's things that go into the definition of hoax. Of course, we have the artistic license thing. This is a comedy. It wasn't meant to do anything but, you know, artistic freedom. But then we have the possibility of a disinformation smear campaign indirectly and getting out in front of you, yourself, and the other researchers out there that do this with the moon hoax and Stanley Kubrick. And then there's a fourth one that you had brought up to me earlier today that it could be maybe directly at you, hoping, and you mentioned this earlier, hoping that you would not recognize the deception and you know, come on Coast and other mass media venues saying, see, I told you all along, this was real.
Yeah, I'm actually beginning to think that's the real point here, is total and complete discreditation. And because I can't think, and furthermore, this plays into a theory that I have about current events, which is that there's two groups that are having a war with each other right now, and we're misidentifying what's happening because we're not sure what's going on, but you know, which is fine because it's difficult to figure out what's going on with what's going on in the world. But I see two groups fighting each other, and every day the war between these two groups, the secretive war, gets more obvious. And I think that this might be a skirmish in that war. In other words, one group is, both groups have equal access to all information. Both groups know what the other groups are doing because they're all in the NSA and they're all listening to all of us and they all know what's going on. But they're fighting with each other for power. And I think one group wants to hide things and the other group wants to expose things. And I think what happened here is the first group, Group A, let's say, they created the entire hoax of this film and this documentary, and then the other group somehow got a hold of the outtakes and uploaded them on the same day or just around the same time, and then I guess went and found them and announced it, because it's one thing to upload a bunch of stuff onto the internet, but you have to find it and you have to announce it. And so someone actually found these outtakes. And if you're out there and you found these outtakes and you're the person who released these, you know, first off, thank you. Second, how did you find them? And why did you release it? And that's the question I'm trying to find right now, is how do these outtakes, which prove that this is a fraud, get released? How did they get found? Who put them up on the internet? If T. Patrick Murray put them up on the internet, then T. Patrick Murray is, you know, the most incredible fool I've ever seen, proving that he's an absolute liar by his own admission. And I don't think it was him. I think something else is going on here, which is indicative of a larger struggle. And I think that's what we're seeing, is this larger struggle. I think we're seeing it in a lot of places. In these terrorist events, I think there's different groups behind the different terrorist events, and these different groups are warring with each other, and these events are part of this skirmish. And I think this is too. And that means that this is getting really serious, and that the people that are playing these games are getting closer and closer to home with us, the research community. And that's both good and bad. It means we're having a really good effect on things. It means that, you know, my work on Stanley is beginning to erode their narrative, which is a good thing. But again, it also means that they're starting to hone back on us and what we're doing, which is in some ways maybe not a good thing. Either way, I'm not worried. And I do believe that the release of those of the shoots The offshoot stuff is really a good thing, and it stopped this thing dead in its tracks from getting any traction.
One of the confusing things for me yesterday, Jay, and this was happening rapid fire. You and I communicated all day long yesterday.
Yep.
Was these videos were just popping up in my email from different sources very, very quickly. And when you go and you look at these YouTube channels with 10 views, 11 views, somebody's posting them quickly and then getting them to the both of us, you know, all afternoon. And suddenly I had, you know, 10 videos to go and watch that had the chronology and the history of everything that's going on, naming names and places. It just didn't make any sense to me. It was almost too easy to unravel.
It was, and it makes me think, because there's a new movie coming out called Moonwalkers about two guys trying to find Stanley Kubrick to do the fake moon landings with Ron Perlman, which will be out in, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm also wondering if this whole thing isn't a publicity campaign for that movie. In other words, you know, the deception within the deception within the deception, we don't really know what's going on here. It could be a lot like Sony Hack. Ironically, the PlayStation, where all of these
yes.
videos were released, is owned by Sony.
Very strange. And the other point that you had just brought up, and I want to clarify, is if you are putting together something like this, whether it's artistic or a hoax or whatever the reason is, the stuff, the incriminating evidence, your outtakes, your rehearsal videos, everything that's going back 2, 3, 4 years, you either delete those files or you hide that thumb drive in your freezer in a half gallon of ice cream. You know, that's where it goes. You don't allow it to just leak out all over the place. Everything that is incriminating on this that will unravel even before your film is released.
Exactly. Why go to the lengths of hiring a dead ringer for Stanley Kubrick, teaching him how to do the voice, coaching him, clearly coaching him and directing him, and going through this entire effort? It had to cost at least time, if not time and money, and then to subvert yourself by releasing the outtakes just boggles my mind, and I can't buy it. And so that makes me think there's something deeper going on, and somebody's trying to send a message to us that, you know, we're watching us. We're watching and making sure that this deception does not work. And so someone is on our side, because I can't believe the filmmaker would do such an absolutely idiotic thing as to release this. But you never know. People are seriously stupid these days. So,
well, let me do this really quick. The director's name is T. Patrick Murray,
yep.
And the public information out there on him is he's the CEO of Independent Film Studios. He's the founder of the founder of HDTV. I don't know if it's that right, HDTV. CEO of HDTV. He studied film, creative writing, communications at the University of Pennsylvania. He lives in Philadelphia. And all of this information is out there. And there was one other thing that got a little funky for me. The actor is a Dr. Thomas Edward Mayick, M-A-Y-K. And he's listed as a Harvard film professor. Now, all of this is easy enough to research. First off, there is no Harvard Film School. But to be fair, there's a Harvard Department of Visual and Environmental Studies, which has courses in film and visual studies. But a quick check of the Harvard website going to their faculty, which is easy, anybody can do, doesn't show a Dr. Thomas Edward Mayick as a visiting faculty or as a full-time staff. It's not there. Why make these kind of mistakes? It's too easy to research.
It is. It's a rank amateur. But when you look at, you know, what he's done, it's not really all that amateur. So the question is, what is T. Patrick Murray trying to accomplish here? Is he trying to obfuscate the waters? Is he trying to elevate my narrative in some way? Or is he trying to undermine the whole thing? And frankly, dude, if you're listening, you're undermining the whole thing. So stop it, because it isn't helping. And we need to stop this kind of crap, because you're making bogus videos, trying to elevate a position. You're actually undermining the position, and you're not helping my position here. You're actually undermining it. And while I appreciate the effort, it isn't helping.
Jay Widener is our guest tonight. The film is called Shooting Stanley Kubrick. The preview was yesterday. The unedited videos of Stanley Kubrick's actor is out there, and we are discussing it, unraveling it tonight on Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie, and I'll be back right after this short break. Stay with us.